This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius Germanicus is here, and we are entertained enormously by the rise of yet another Gracchus brother. This one, unbeknownst to everyone with orange hair, is doing the job of being a tribune of the people, the plebs. It's very upsetting to the Senate. We enjoy it from a distance of, well, we're in the first century. It's happening in the 21st, but we recognize it. Now, the first two Gracchus brothers, when they introduced their reforms, chiefly to do with property, they were torn apart by the mob run by the Senate.
Right.
This Gracchus brother, so far, has escaped one, two, how many assassinations, Germanicus? We don't know. Well, there'll be more. Regicide is what comes to mind in the Senate's imagination of a Gracchus brother. Oh my God, he's going to give away my estates. What else will he give away? But right now, Orange Gracchus is enjoying himself. I don't know that the Senate has quite caught up to his methodology. They certainly despise him like a Gracchus. I just don't know whether they recognize it. I read in this book that we're both enjoying from Sean McMeekin that Babouf, after he originally came out with his Revolution of the Equals, called himself Gracchus. He didn't call himself Babouf anymore. Eventually, he had to be executed, I understand. But he called himself Gracchus. So this is a convenient way of describing the educated elite who step aside from being the owners into being the troublemakers by asserting that reform or at least redistribution is necessary. Your measure so far of the Orange Gracchus and his contest with Tiberius and Cleopatra. The election's behind us, but that's not the battle now. It has to do with the elite. Are they coming to terms?
I think an important insight, not just an insight, but what the French would call a frisson, a little shiver up the back of your neck, is the fact that, as you mentioned, Mr. Trump has orange hair. Well, who in the great world of mythic heroes also had red hair? Well, it was the wily Odysseus, because there were lots of Greeks being Dorians and Achaeans, Indo-European peoples had red hair. And I think in many ways, he is a bit like the wily Odysseus in that he has cheated and misdirected, confused, hoodwinked, and otherwise deceived all those who would have him destroyed. And this is a remarkable story, and much better at it, thus far at least, than his ancestors, the Gracchi. He is poised to do more as emperor. And of course, the Gracchi suffered. It was no fault of theirs that the Roman constitution during the Republic created a tremendous insecurity and exposure of anyone who held a high office. And that it was very hard unless you pulled a Marius or a Sulla, or later on a Caesar, not to forget Pompey, but I mean, it was very hard, which is one of the reasons the Republic ended. There was no overall legitimacy in authority that would allow a person who wanted to change things to survive. And of course, even the imperial office through the next several centuries was a very, very slippery one. Now, what Mr. Trump has managed to do is find himself in the imperial office again with not just the legitimacy of an election, but also the authority of the manner of his victory. And so he is in a position now to entertain and perhaps even realize the kinds of things that the Gracchi were never allowed to. And he does have the support of the people. And given the fact that this is a democratic imperial system, it works in his favor in terms of survival, I believe, better than the precarious and slippery world of politics in the Roman Republic.
Do the senators recognize that we've been here before?
You mean the American senators?
Yes.
No. No, they called senators, and they're in a Capitoline edifice that is an homage to us. I mean, everything in Washington is a necropolis in the manner of Rome. It's not just obvious, it's overwhelming. And yet it is not informing, I think, their day-to-day compass of mission, what they need to do and the way in which they need to do it. And of course, as we both know, being in that world, Romans were intensely informed by that sense of mission and the role that they played in their lives in maintaining the vision. And in many ways, that's why, and I think we talked about this almost 20 years ago, that's why emperors would always try to invade Persia, because they were trying to be Alexander, just as Alexander felt himself channeling the mythic divine spirit of Achilles. And so the Romans were imbued with what they had to be and do. And that has not carried into American life. But I do think, as an exception, that Trump does. He really feels himself in the role that we are according him.
We'll end with this, a wonderful quote. A dictator from South America once upon a time. For my friends, everything. For my enemies, the law. Germanicus is Michael Vlahos. I am Gaius, John Batchelor. Londinium, we're off to Aristophanes, making fun of Socrates. That's what he does. The thinkery is Socrates' school, and they spend their time measuring the jump of a flea, the buzz of a gnat, or how to make a fish hook. The thinkery. You didn't know that they made fun of Socrates in his time, did you? Yes, well, they did. He was dull. Aristophanes, this is a genuine comedy, although there's thinking in it, which has a Roman eye. Well, I go get popcorn. We'll sacrifice to God Augustus on our way. Friends of History Debating Society, I am John Batchelor.